there has to be a reason why they went to cousin love.
Cousin love. It's like brotherly love, but cousins.
But cousins.
I mean, what if you had a super hot cousin?
Then they're super hot. Period.
Yeah, but like, I mean, what if you just had, like, because I think about all my cousins, right? I have a lot of cousins. I'm not attracted to a single one of them. Not a single one of those people am I attracted to. But I am trying to think, like, what if my cousin was Charlie Hunnam? I would be attracted to that cousin of mine.
Let's live in this.
Like,
for a
what
second.
If your cousin was Lisa? And then, like, something gets a little murky.
No,
and then,
like, it would never be murky.
One day you guys are drinking at the family reunion.
I would never touch my cousin if it was Lisa from Blackpink. I would just look the whole time, though.
Welcome to Tea Time, everyone. I'm Miranda Mayday.
And I'm Raven Simone.
And as you can see, Tea Time has gotten a bit of a facelift. And in sticking with the facelift theme of things, you know, like after you get a deep plane facelift or something, you have to let it settle. So we are settling here at Tea Time. We're still working out some kinks. We're going to be adjusting some furniture, but we are here. That's the first order of business. The second order of business is a little while ago, we took to the Instagram stories and asked our lovely Tea Time community to vote on names you guys wanted to be called. And Biscuits won.
What up, Home Skillet Biscuit?
Home Skillet Biscuits from now on is how we will be referring to all of you. Another thing that we discovered in going back into our archives is that we've never really explained why Tea Time. So I want to take a minute to quickly let you know why this show is called Tea Time. I think everyone instantly thinks, oh, because you guys are spilling tea. And sure, but there's more to the story. My mom is Welsh. And growing up, tea was put in her baby bottle. My grandmother, who I called Nanny, she was a strong Welsh woman who understood the importance of tea. And she used to say to her kids that there was nothing that couldn't be solved with a good cup of tea. And in my household, I grew up with a similar thing. And we knew that there were some rules. One of them was you don't talk to your mother before she's had her first cup of tea in the morning. And the second was that around 3-4 o'clock, we always had tea time. And that was a moment to come together, have a cup of tea, decompress and share your thoughts. Talk about what was going on in the day. Sometimes my mom would have a girlfriend over and they'd sit in the living room, always PG tips. We know how important that is. And I just wanted to bring that sentiment to a podcast. I thought it was such a lovely thing to sit down, have a great conversation, have some fun, get into some deeper stuff. And that's why this show is called Tea Time for me. Why is it for you, babe?
Well, for me, I'm from the South, Georgia specifically, and every time I went over my grandparents' house, my grandfather was known for his iced tea that was literally just sugar water with a little bit of tea in it, but it made our life, and that's, my mom didn't know how to make it, so it was like, can we go over to grandma's and grandpa's? We're going to get our iced tea, sometimes lemonade, but the iced tea made the difference.
Yeah.
And even to this day, I always order iced tea, and I'll sweeten it myself. Those who know, know.
Yeah, because you don't want the beaties.
I don't want the beaties.
But tea truly is, it's so culturally rich. You think about the matcha ceremonies in Japan.
The history of tea, in accordance with humanity, is as old as salt.
Yeah.
The tea leaf, it is magical. The ceremonies that it creates mm-hmm. is magical. It created societies in ways. I mean, the Boston Tea Party, it's political. It's not political. Tea is a staple. Like I said, in humanity, like salt is, and what better thing to drink than a little bit of tea?
Yeah. So I really love that we can now fully embrace our Tea Time theme with our Home Skillet biscuits and that we are just here. We're here doing our thing. And I'm really grateful to all of you for sticking with us. And if you're new here, welcome to the show.
Welcome.
We're very happy to have you. Okay, babes, how you doing? Yeah. I totally understood every word of that. I know exactly what that means. I want to let you know what I've been up to recently.
Please. I would love to hear.
Did you know that dementia is on the rise?
Well, they are calling dementia the third diabetes.
Yeah. I'm getting now all of these videos on my TikTok algorithm teaching me that in your hand movements, you can actually start training your brain to grow. And these are anti-dementia hand exercises that you can do.
Like mudras?
Sure, babes. Not really. But
Don't dismiss a mudra.
I'm not dismissing a mudra because this kind of looks like a mudra, which is why I said sure. But can you do this? So you take your index finger and your thumb, your pinky and your thumb on another hand, and then you go like this. Are you so good at it?
Obviously.
I knew you were going to. Do you know how hard this was for me?
Listen, I'm thriving in my mental space.
I know. It's so annoying.
And I'm also declining thoroughly.
Can you do the bunny and this? You go bunny and something we can't say. And then you flip and you do this quickly. Okay. You struggled a little. You have a little early onset.
Whatever.
But anyway,
I didn't have onset with the other one. How could I get it just on the second one?
I don't know. Here's another one.
Oh, okay.
On your left hand, you do all even numbers. On your right hand, you do odd numbers. So you go 2 and 1, and then you go 4 and 3, and then you go 1 and 2.
2 and 5.
Yeah.
I'm good. I think you need to work on it, though. I think you might be having dementia. Dementia number 3. Something's up over there. You good? All the potatoes you eat, they ain't helping you?
I don't. But that's the other thing. Sweet potatoes. Can we talk about sweet potatoes for a second?
Sure.
Okay. This is actually, you on the peripheral side know about Courtney Cook because I've talked to you about her.
Why
Courtney
do I
Cook,
know?
I've showed her to you. She's the woman who went super, super viral for eating the dumpling in the onion cup with the Kewpie mayo and the chili oil.
Super, yeah.
She's the teacher in Atlanta.
Okay.
So I love what she's done for the sweet potato because she has really brought it out. Mm. I just want to say, and those of you who have been here for a long time, I'm talking like kitchen witch time.
Oh, kitchen witch.
You know me and my sweet potato.
Yeah, I do.
I have been obsessed with the sweet potato for so long.
Yes.
Before it was trendy, before it was being stuffed with buttercasey cheese. You don't even know what that is. It's a kind of cheese.
Oh, thank you.
But like Drew Barrymore is now eating it.
Drew's doing it.
It's gone so viral.
I mean,
that she's like on the Today Show eating.
No wonder they have like no potatoes in the grocery store.
That's what I'm saying.
It's their fault, babe.
But I love sweet potatoes so much. Yeah. I've traveled with them.
I know this. I know this very well.
Would you like
a sack of potatoes? Listen, when you are traveling with my mom and my wife and we are stuck trying to get a bag through checking because it's over 50 pounds, more like 150. And they're like, well, what can you do to change? I can't take anything out. Why can't you? Ma'am, open up your suitcase and it's just potatoes.
Yeah.
Then as your wife and the one who carries everything, I just put all the potatoes in my backpack. And not only am I carrying a dog and a sack of potatoes, I'm also holding the bags. You're welcome.
You chose this life. You wanted to travel with Quinn and you wanted to hold all the bags.
There are such things as roles in relationships. They might not always look gender wise, but there are definitely roles in relationships.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
And I do other things.
Yes,
and that's
you do.
Love and marriage.
Well, do you want to hear about what I've been into recently?
Well, obviously I was about to ask.
Oh, I don't know. I thought you had one more thing you wanted to say.
Maybe I did, but now it's gone. I forgot it because I don't have dementia.
I'm going to butcher the name of it. So please, Army, don't be mad at me. But we're just going to say the new BTS album. I am addicted to Hooligan. I'm addicted to 2.0.
What did you say wrong?
I didn't say the name of the album because I don't. It's Arang. A-R. I don't know how to pronounce it, okay? I don't. I'm sorry. So I'm not going to say it. And I just, sorry. But I love it and I love
everything. Like everyone is coming for you. So they're
the
like
army
the
is bigger than the beehive.
Really?
It's huge.
Bigger than the beehive. I don't know about
now
that.
The beehive's going to come for me, but I don't care.
But they're not coming for me. The beehive loves me.
Bees come all day. Armies, y'all do what you want to, but I'm an army stan all day. Mm-hmm. And my bias is Jimin. That's just my love, obviously, in JK.
And you said that they recorded in LA.
Yeah, they did their last album in LA because they got off their military service. They all met up in LA. I didn't watch the documentary on Netflix, but I watched the concert while I was overseas. And I was just so happy. And I haven't had an album.
I thought you watched the doc.
No, I watched the concert. I was going to wait to watch the doc with you here.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I haven't had an album stuck in my head like this since, I don't know.
Britney Spears.
Don't ever. Blueprint, Jay-Z kind of thing. Like it's in there. They are going hooligan. So I'm on my BTS right now.
I love that.
Yeah. I'm going to get you on. Don't worry.
Okay.
Done.
I mean, I trust that you can because it took me just like, I think 3 weeks to understand Gnarly from Cat's Eye.
You guys have no idea what it took to get me to get her to understand that Gnarly was a smash before I was listening to it before it blew up.
Can I tell you what's such a bummer?
Tell me.
Can I tell you what's such a bummer?
What's such a bummer?
Even that experience that I just had right there.
Not being able to speak English correctly?
Yeah. Turning into your parent as you get older.
I don't want to talk about it.
Because let me just tell you something. Growing up in my house, I used to say things to my mom like, oh yeah, Britney Spears sings this song. And she'd be like, who's Britney Spears? And I'd get pissed. Yeah. I'd be like, what do you mean, who is Britney Spears? What rock are you living under? And she'd be like, read.
That's even worse. She's like Shakespeare.
No, quite literally. She would like literally say, who art thou on thy fine night to the Thames and the Thames, Miranda? Oh. And I'd be like, I'm sorry. And she'd be like, tell me what play that's from. And I was like, the one that you named me after, The Tempest, because that's the only one I know.
Hilarious.
Like, I don't know.
You're like Leonardo DiCaprio and Claire Danes.
Romeo and Juliet, that one. She's like, oh, pray tell thy credit, whatever. And I just now am that person.
Yeah.
And I see moments of myself where people are talking about pop culture.
I look at my hands every day and go, shit.
Yeah.
That is my mama's fingers. Yeah. I am looking like my mama.
You and your mom have the same feet.
My feet look like my mom's?
They're identical.
You've never seen my dad's feet. I actually have my dad's feet.
I haven't seen them.
You will never. I'm telling you right now, I have my father's feet. I have his big toe. It's disgusting.
Oh.
Yeah. But I have my mom's hands. And you always say that I have my mom's face, like when I'm sleeping or when I'm angry or when I'm happy or
correct.
Sad.
Correct. You guys have the same pout.
Scowl.
Yes.
It's a scowl of dis. It's just a bad face.
Yeah. It's actually not even that animated. The actual, because no, it's, I can't even do it. It's literally just.
We're just angry at life.
It's just so mad.
Yeah. It's,
it's just, and like poof in the lips a little bit.
Yeah.
All right, so if you've been here for a while, you know that Raven and I love to go deep. We're going, that sounds not right.
Sounds good to me.
That sounds, you know, we love to go deep.
We go deep.
We like to go down into our rabbit hole and talk things out. We have Quinn here, as per usual.
You heard Janet Jackson and you want to do
but we have some questions today that we're going to discuss. Are you the same person you were 5 years ago?
Hell no!
Hell to the no!
I am not the same person I was 5 years ago. However, my morals are the same. But who I am, I think changes, you know, by hourly.
Well, let's talk about this for a second. 5 years ago, you were 35.
Yes, I was 35 5 years ago, and we were about to get married 5 years ago.
Yeah, well, no, we were married. We got married 6 years ago, right?
Not yet, but yeah.
Okay, I knew you then. That was good. That was a nice time. You had long hair.
I had long hair. I was much more.
You had, there was so colorful.
Yeah, I had, yeah, and I was
those
a lot
thick
more,
braids.
A lot more, I wasn't as feminine, but I was more feminine.
Yeah, yeah, you were a little more feminine.
And I was in my bag. I was working on a show, and I had a different mentality about things, but my core, my belief system and all that, that was similar.
I feel like for as long as I've known you, which we met in 2015, you've always felt consistent in that. Like, even though you externally have changed in many ways, I think it doesn't throw me because there is this consistent piece in you where it feels like home. Like that has not wavered.
Well, good. You married well.
Yeah, I did.
And then for you, 5 years ago, how do you think you've changed?
In sticking with our dementia theme, I don't remember what. Okay, 5 years ago, I was 37, 6, 5, 4. I was 33.
Okay.
I can't do math. I was 33. I guess we were just about to get married.
I think it's the same 5 years. I didn't like jump 5 years different from your 5 years. So I think that front part is going to just be the same.
Okay.
So
we were both on the same plane. Debbie Allen's?
Yeah, we were both at Allen's.
We were both there?
Yeah, we're at the Mama
Jones. Okay, cool. Yeah, I guess I've changed a lot.
No, you have. Not guess, you have.
I feel like I've changed.
Your core is the same. But at the same time, it's not.
No?
No, I think. I know you were supposed to answer, but I'm going to answer for you.
Okay, sure, go ahead.
Sorry about that.
I like that for me. Go ahead.
Because you didn't remember dementia. You were a big ball of anxiety, and you were like a little bunny that was wet and kind of scared about what garden. That was even different from when we met in 2015. I felt like when you were in 2015, you were a little bit more solid in who you were, even though it might have been a front. And I feel now there are such roots that have grown from your heart all the way down into the core of the earth that I'm like, oh, snap, those weren't there before. You were very malleable 5 years ago. And now you are strong in your belief system and who you are and what you want to be. That anxiety bubble is gone. You're now a fluffy, beautiful, white little rabbit. And I feel really proud to say that you found your strength in who you are compared to 5 years ago when I'm like, girl, sit down.
Yeah.
You'll be fine. Just sit down. Just sit down, girl. You're fine.
Like, I'm late. I'm late for a very important date. Yeah, I'm just really keeping our theme going. I think that that tracks for me, that resonates. And I think a huge part of that, we've talked about this, is the safety that I have felt in our relationship and having a home base. Not to say that you couldn't do this work without a partner, because I think you can. But what I really lacked was the feeling of the
a secure relationship.
And I think that in our childhood, one of the things we learn is that you can kind of leave the nest and then you can come back to home base, and home base is consistent and safe and solid. And I didn't have that. So I was always just an anxiety bubble because I didn't have any space that felt truly, which is what we should have within ourselves. I just wasn't able to develop it. So I think that feeling safe in our relationship allowed me then to go and do the hard work to figure out why I felt so anxious about this, to work through that, to face fears, to push boundaries a little bit that I was afraid of pushing up against, kind of figure out the own traps and walls that I've set for myself and go, why am I living with these parameters? They no longer serve me. And that was really, I think, the biggest change. And I think age too. I think time, just like, you know, 33 to 35 to 40. I mean, I'm 38 now. And I think it's just as we get older, your perspective shifts. But I have a lot of compassion for my younger self because I just had so much fear. I had so much fear. And I think that a lot of us have a lot of fear and struggle with it, but it robs you from life. And I think that that's part of what I've also really started making these concrete decisions is like, okay, I'm terrified of this, but I also want to have a life experience. So I have to do the hard thing.
And you have always said that that is something that I bring out in you, in the sense of you feel safe enough to do the hard thing, which people claim as work. But what it is stepping outside of your comfort zone and looking at who you are and judging yourself on how you can be better.
Yeah.
You know, and I think even with our first trip together back to Philadelphia, that you looked at yourself and said, I will not let fear take me over. You know, Donnie Darko talked about that.
Did he? Good old Jake. That was such a real moment for me. And you're right, because I needed something bigger than the fear and the desire to be with you.
I always won't let you fall.
Yeah. And part of me subconsciously must have known that. But then the desire to be with you was greater than the fear. So yes, when you asked me to like come to New York and go on this trip or whatever it was, even though I was like, this means losing my routine and the things I know and the consistency that I like that I've attached to create that false sense of security. It was like, it was not a no-brainer, but it was like, go live your life, Miranda, go do that. And I've done that repeatedly with you. So
yeah.
Next question. What makes someone truly trustworthy?
Oh God. You answer first.
Consistency. Time. I think that the more you get to learn and know someone, the more you understand the amount of trust that you can give them. I think that my perspective with people is when I get to know you and we start, you got a full cup. And then as time starts to pass, we go through experiences together. And this can be romantically, this can be friendship wise, this can be work wise. You start to learn people and you go, all right, that's a red flag, or that pinged me the wrong way, or you figure something out. So I think true trust comes from time and then also integrity in that person. You see how that person shows up and it either works for you or it doesn't. It enables you to let your walls down or share more.
I would add to that, and this is going to be a little difficult to explain, so just stick with me, biscuits. If I ask somebody a question and they don't tell me the truth, and you can be like, well, how do you know? For instance, if I walk up to you and I have something on that I know looks bad, and I go up to you and say, does this look good? And you're like, well, it looks good. Do you like it? But like, I don't trust you because you know damn well this looks crazy. I don't trust your sense of telling me about myself.
Mm-hmm.
I want the friend and I want that trust where they will tell me I have a booger in my nose. For instance, I was overseas for a while. I was doing some stuff and Tabo. Love you, Tabo. See, I'm calling you out on the podcast. He was like, we're friends, right? And I'm like, yeah. He goes, get that out of your nose. And I was like, I love you, bro. I love you so much.
And then did you say, listen, dude, you're going to have to tell me there. About every other, every 15 minutes because it always comes back.
I did say that. But yeah, you can have great integrity. Yeah, you can do all that. But if you are too afraid to tell me about myself, to help me further myself, then I'm going to have a problem. And it's not just about me too. It's if I can do that to you. If that's a back and forth, like we've had many of conversations earlier in our relationship where I'll be like, oh my God. But I'm like, calm down. I'm not coming for you. It's not out of malice. It might sound harsh, but I'm doing it ultimately because I love you. And this is what I see. And I feel like some people get scared to tell people the truth. And there's ways to do it in a kind way.
Mm-hmm.
And there's ways to do it in a malicious way, for sure. I'm not, negating that because there's people in my family who will tell the truth and they'll make you cry at the end. It's like, you could have said it nicer. You've not brought it up at all. But that's something that matters to me.
I also think truth and trust are a little different.
They are.
And I think that...
They're spelled differently too.
They are.
Yeah.
I also think that the truth is subjective in a lot of ways. I mean, there are hard, cold facts, right, that we understand. But then there are... truths. Everyone in this room right now is going to have a different truth of an experience,
Yeah, so, but if you tell me a truth that I know matches my truth, then I can trust you.
But yes. And that is individual. That's what I'm saying too. Yeah. I think it's an individual thing because, for example, you could put an outfit on that you think you look crazy in, ask somebody else, and they're like, oh, I think you look great.
I don't trust their
But
judgment.
They could truly believe that, but that doesn't align with your perception of yourself, and therefore it doesn't help you build trust. Correct. I think there is a flip side of that coin, though, where you can trust somebody so much that when they give you their opinion, it can alter how you see something, because I think that it also depends on who the person is giving you advice, for example.
But you have to have that baseline first, right? Like,
yeah.
that moment comes when they don't, if we don't have an alignment of what the way something looks, the history before, we've aligned on other things. So we're like, okay, I trust your opinion.
Yeah.
But if we're off the bat growing trust with one another and the first three or four is off, you're not going to be able to trust everybody in this world. Not everybody's going to align.
Yeah, and you shouldn't.
You really shouldn't. Not everybody's going to align. And that goes with community and your group of people. There's always going to be groups of people. And there are some popular people that we're friends with that I can be like, I don't trust you at all.
Mm.
But you can be in my circle on my outer ring of orbit. But I'm not going to call you for advice because I don't trust your advice. Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%. Now I wonder if building trust or finding someone trustworthy is completely individual in the sense that it is only about your own way of relating to other people.
Without a doubt, babes.
Like, it's not actually about the other person being trustworthy. It's about you looking at someone else and going, these are the things that I believe equal trust, and this person has it and that person doesn't.
Without a doubt. Because if that's not the case, then groups wouldn't exist.
You know what else?
The difference between Democrats and Republicans. We're all human, but one side trusts and believes something that this side doesn't.
Yeah.
But they're going to fight each other all the time, even though both of them feel like they're living in truth.
Yeah. I mean, that's, yeah. And I was thinking about how there are some people who they talk a lot, and we can look at them and be like, okay, I would never tell you a secret because you're blabbing everywhere. I just met you and you're telling me all this shit about your mom and her sister and the person that they had an affair with and how big their legs are and what, and you're just like, this is too much. But that person to somebody probably is trustworthy.
Exactly.
And somebody is going to be like, no, I know that I could call Michelle and she'd be there in 2 seconds.
It's always Michelle.
It's always Michelle.
Damn it, Michelle.
Are most people honest in relationships or just strategic?
Whew. I think there's honestly year markers between strategy and honesty in a relationship. I say that to say, I was never this way. And you can tell me if I was.
Okay.
When we first started dating, do you remember kind of my philosophy?
No. I mean,
you have dementia. So my philosophy. So
don't put that on me, Ricky Bobby. Even though I put it on myself 25 times within this episode, just don't.
Don't do
Can't
it.
Confirm it.
Well, one of my philosophies.
Or affirm it.
One of my philosophies early in dating is you're going to catch me in my pajamas, no makeup, hair looking crazy. Yeah. Because I need you to know what I look like.
From the get-go.
And how I am from the get-go.
Yeah.
And then when I put on all the glitz and glamour, you fall in love forever.
You have a lot of philosophies, because another one is, I'm going to just sit back and watch and let you do you.
Period.
And that is terrifying.
Why? Are you not?
Because I like some strategy. I like some fucking strategy, which means I want to know what's up. But yes. Okay.
I have to do that, because when I scare someone by just sitting back and letting them be them, then the strategy falls, because I don't want to fall in love with strategy. I want to fall in love with you.
Yeah.
And I feel like, and we've talked about this sometimes, I was like, sometimes I think you catfished me because you had such a strategy.
I think that's rude. I don't like you saying that, because I don't think that I had a strategy. I think that what actually happened, babe, 100, is that you projected something on my appearance.
I did?
Yes. And I really think that is what happened.
You know what? That's probably possible. But I'm also going back and listening to that Miranda who said, you know, I had to fight the demons in my brain to go on that first trip.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know, because you didn't show me that side of you.
Why would I? Okay, you wanted me to get all into the...
That's... I came up to you and was like, I have depression. I'm crazy. This is the situation. Here I am. There are some people, and it's not just you. I'm just using that. And I think there's many relationships that have that, where it's like, you're going to hide the things that you think are unattractive because that's how we're taught to start in relationships. Mm-hmm. When in actuality, for me, I want to see those things that are quote unquote unattractive, because that is who makes you. That is what makes you and beautiful. And how can I help you? I used to be Captain Save-A-Ho all the time. You know what I mean? So seeing flaws turns me on, actually. And so I think
that explains so much.
I think that when people get into relationships, they go, okay, what are the things that didn't work in the last one? Let me hide my flaws. Let me put on a shit ton of makeup. Let me lie a little bit about this. Let me pretend that I'm going to do this in this way. And then when those blocks start coming down and those walls start coming down, you'd be like, who am I in a relationship with? You were saying that at the beginning. Then the honesty start coming out, and then you have to recalibrate, you know? That was long-winded.
I don't know if that many people are that conscious of it.
Oh, I don't think people are conscious of it at all.
Yeah, because for example, it never felt like I was intentionally, I wasn't intentionally withholding something.
Yeah.
You know, you learned about my quirks that I found my most significant really early on, hence purple, you know? And so I have very specific ways of eating, everybody. And Raven named one of my snacks purple. It's not purple. It was just a thing. She thought it was purple. It's not. It looked purple from a distance. It's not purple at all. Anyway, you know, it's like, I didn't try and hide that I had that. I didn't try and hide that I had anxiety. I think that the way that I moved showed that I had anxiety, the way that I did things, the way that I was. The difference is like, you wanted someone to communicate directly, like, this is my laundry list. Yes or no.
Yeah.
And that would have been a very foreign thing
that's
for me to do.
That's hard for people to do.
It wasn't, it is definitely hard for people to do. And it wasn't even something on my radar to think of doing.
Right.
In early days of my dating life, when I meet somebody, first of all, those things are further pushed to the back of my brain because it's all about the good feelings, the oxytocin, the wanting to be close. So that's just going in, you're just happy hormones. Mm-hmm. And yeah, of course, like, you want to show up looking and feeling your best. But in time, you know, yeah, you, when you sleep over, you're going to, I'm not the type of person who's putting makeup on. There are some women like that who go and like put makeup on.
The stories where the women go to sleep with the makeup and then wake up when their husband is like dead asleep and then go into the bathroom and put a whole new face on.
And
like,
you're still lying. You've been in a relationship for 70 years. You're still lying.
Yeah, that's lot of work.
Crazy.
But also, if that makes that person feel better and then their partner is co-signing to that, because you know that your wife is doing that. You know your partner has lashes on. Yeah. You're letting them continue that. Then that's some kind of like, you know, silent agreement between them.
It sounds like something a man would do. A man would allow for a while. No offense, men. But it's true. I mean, it goes back to what is trust. It is always through the lens of the partner.
Yeah.
Always. So you're right. I don't think people are doing it consciously. I think some people do things consciously.
Some people are strategic for sure.
Yeah.
I know for a fact that there are some people who have their eyes set on a person and it's like, how am I moving these pieces? I know that they go here and I do. And I had that a little bit in high school when I had crushes and I'd find out music that people liked. Mm. And I would then all of a sudden become obsessed with music that I didn't give
and
a fuck about.
And then your aunt would send you tickets of that artist. And you're like, why the fuck are you giving me these tickets?
Well, she could never give me tickets to The Doors, babe, because Jim Morrison was dead.
My bad.
But the point
genre.
The point is that, I got a shit ton of Doors shit. And I was like, I just liked one guy one time who was obsessed with Jim Morrison and now I am paying the price.
Did it work? Did diving into someone?
Okay. Not even at all. Not even a little bit. Probably because I just did it all wrong. I don't know. Because I didn't even do it correctly. I was just like, Jim Morrison. I love that one song he sings and I'd listen to it and I'd be like, I hate this right now. Sorry to any Doris fans.
But I think that's, you know, a symptom of society, especially when it comes to females. We feel like we have to manipulate our likes in order to get that person to like us. When in actuality, if you're standing in your truth and who you are, the right person will see that beacon and come to you.
Yeah.
But we're so taught to be like, go after what you want. Go after what you want. And there's a difference between want and need.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that the universe will always, at the end of the day, give you what you need, even if it's not what you want.
Yeah.
And that's a hard pill to swallow. But again, that comes with age and understanding. Those who get what they want will find flaws in it all the time. Like your friend that we were talking about this morning. She goes after what she thinks is good and what she thinks she wants. And by the end of the relationship, they're broken up with them 17 times.
Yeah.
And you're not getting what you actually need.
But what she needs and what oftentimes I think people end up discovering that they need is not in another person. It's in themselves.
Every time.
And that is part of the thing too, is that we end up playing out patterns. And I think that even when it comes to, again, like strategy in a relationship, what ultimately, in my opinion, you're doing, if you are going to be super strategic, is you're trying to avoid a pattern or you're trying to force an outcome based off of a trauma or a fear you have in yourself. That's because for me,
or
a fantasy. Because for me, the only time I ever was strategic was because I didn't have enough of a sense of self developed that I could fall back on that and know, oh, I don't have to shapeshift to try and, you know, please this person, or I don't have to listen to their, or I can just show up as myself. Yeah. And if they like me with their differences, like, you know.
So you didn't strategically make me barbecue sauce? And
oh, I 100% did. That all of that was strategy. that was strategy all day long. If you've been here for a while, you know that we usually go into our teapot to pull out a random topic and then we talk about that. But instead, we have a random confession from one of our biscuits in this pot. We're going to be taking your confessions or your tea, whatever it is, your hot gossip, and talking about it. So, babes, you want to do the honor?
Yeah, I do.
This is from a biscuit.
A little thing.
Smoke magic mirrors.
Ooh, and there's more in here than usual. I just lied. It's still only one.
Some things never change, you guys. Consistency is key. We want you to feel like this is home base.
You can trust us.
And you don't need to go that far. You can trust us. We're trustworthy.
Ooh, this starts off good. This starts off so good.
Does it?
Oh my God. I was actually watching a lot of reels about this.
It's anonymous. We keep these anonymous to protect our biscuits.
My cousins are dating. Start there, cuz. Start there. We were all close. Grew up together. They've been full on fucking for a year. Everyone knows. They're not even hiding it, Cersei. He has 3 kids and 2 other baby mamas. Their parents are full blood siblings. I have 3 questions.
Wait, their parents are full blood siblings, so the parents are brother and sister? What?
The one person's parent is
understood,
a brother.
Understood.
One person,
okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I was like, wow, this is a family of incest.
I just have one. Have you seen White Underbelly? That's the first question. Second question is, what state are you living in? The third question is, I just want to apologize.
Are you using protection? Because
not if he got 3 kids and 2 other baby mamas.
I don't have a question, but I have a statement.
Yeah.
Which is, that is truly a reflection of how dark, dismal, depressing the dating world has become.
That is crazy that you went there. She's like, I'm done.
People are like, the apps now aren't working. Like, I've been on all these miserable dates. Men suck. Women are whatever. And now it's just like, we're just going
to
keep it in the bloodline. Let's go.
I'm just thinking about my cousin and how both of them, because, you know, I'm gay.
Oh, my God. Imagining you with either of your cousins. Hilarious.
I just don't understand how one could do that, as because I personally couldn't. But I'm just trying my best not to judge. There has to be a reason why they went to cousin love.
Cousin love. It's like brotherly love, but cousins.
But cousins.
I mean, what if you had a super hot cousin?
Then they're super hot. Period.
Yeah, but like, I mean, what if you just had, like, because I think about all my cousins, right? I have a lot of cousins. My mom, on my mom's side, my mom is one of 8 kids. Almost all those kids had kids. There's a lot of us. And then my dad, sad. I'm not attracted to a single one of them. Not a single one of those people am I attracted to. But I am trying to think, like, what if my cousin was Charlie Hunnam? I would be attracted to that cousin of mine.
Okay.
I don't know if I'd want to full on fuck him, but I'm just saying.
I was going to say, let's live in this.
Like, what if your cousin was Lisa? You'd fuck her. Your face said it all.
I would fuck my cousin.
But you would think about it.
But I would definitely go bra shopping with her.
And you'd think about it. And you would think about those titties.
Someone's going to be really lucky to have that.
And then, like, something gets a little murky.
No,
and then,
like, it would never be murky.
One day you guys are drinking at the family reunion.
I would never touch my cousin if it was Lisa from Blackpink. I would just look the whole time, though.
Yeah, but you're at the family reunion. You guys are drinking. You're by the lake.
The reason I wouldn't is because I was taught at a very young age.
Not to look at your cousins that way?
Not to look at your cousins that way. Because we're Southern. And when you are literally
because you're Southern, so it's like,
No, it's a thing, though. It's a stereotype with Southern people. Kentucky, Carolinas, you know what I mean? Like, the families run so deep. You got to be like, what's your last name? And what family are you from? So that I don't cross-pollinate.
Yeah.
It's a real thing, especially in the Black community. Because we're not going to go into it, but incest happened during slave times in a real way. And it was disgusting. And so it's really ingrained in our system to really watch out for that. But it still happens every now and then. Mm-hmm. However, white people be doing that shit. Y'all be doing it. I'm just saying.
I'm not going to speak on behalf of all white people.
I think you should speak on behalf on all white people.
I will just say.
She's like, let's not. Let's not do that.
I will say.
What does the white people say? I'm just messing with you, baby.
The white person representative.
Don't speak on white people.
No, I was going to say, I think that the Soft White Underbelly, which is a YouTube channel that happens to showcase a family amongst many other individuals on this channel that is deeply incestual, very white, and very unwell as a result of, you know, DNA mixing that simply shouldn't be mixing. I think I don't need to say a goddamn thing. I think that says everything.
I think it does.
I can just say less. Incest is,
yes. What should she do? Oh, she's looking for a...
Oh,
you asking for help? There was not a question mark in that statement. You were just telling us your business, girl. And okay, we were just judging it based on that.
In the chance that you want some help.
Girl, you're fucked.
You should do nothing. You should do nothing.
You should move.
When in doubt.
And marry and change your last name.
Do nothing. Stop, drop, and roll out the house you know nothing.
You don't bring it up at the cookout. Mm-hmm. You don't bring it up to your mama. Mm-hmm. You said everybody knows.
You just assume she's Black.
Well,
you don't know what she said. Yeah, you did. That's white
people don't have cookouts.
I've never been invited.
No, you
to
guys
one.
Have Brooke. So many layers.
So many layers.
What's just you can't do nothing about it. What you gonna do? Knock on the door?
You should. You can say I know. You know what you're doing.
You know what they can do? Because I don't know if it's a boy or a girl. They could totally just start watching Game of Thrones on loud every single time that couple comes in.
I think they should just watch the Soft White Underbelly, that particular episode of incest.
Every single time. Like, is my television's broken. This is the only
They should just start giving facts about, like, incest. Like, just ask ChatGPT, what happens if my cousins are full-on fucking? And then it says, like, what happens?
The fact that it's just full-on fucking is the full-on best fucking. Part of it.
We wish you luck, girl. Yeah.
Thank God it's not you.
Yeah, that she's not the one. We're assuming it's also a she. We're just really glad that this person isn't fucking their cousin, but that they anonymously let us know that their cousins are fucking.
That's for good combo. Thank you for that, Biscuit.
So, Biscuits, if you have anonymous tea that you want us to read, send it to us in the DMs, put it in the comments below. Well, I guess maybe not, because then everyone can read it. Just send it to me in the DMs, and then maybe it'll be in the pot, and we'll read it. Babes, let's toast.
A ting ting.
Today on the podcast, we are toasting to our new set, our new team of peoples that are helping bring tea time to your eyeballs, your ear holes, and not your fucking cousins. But I just want to say thank you to everybody. Thank you to you, babes. Thank you to this beautiful set. We are so happy to be here. And again, thank you to our biscuits, because without you guys, we're going to do what we do.
I love you.
I love you too, honey.
Your hair looks great.
Pioneer.